The ball here, over to me.
I'm here, pass it to me.
Why are you kicking the ball?
Over here.
Pass.
Ow, you kicked it out of the field.
I didn't touch it.
I'm kicking.
Stop, a group of tourists is walking through. Stop the game.
The building that you see here is one of the first public housing style buildings that was built in Israel. The purpose of this structure was going to be providing shelter homes for the poor people. The initiative belonged to a Jewish, Dutch, and German organization called Kol El Hod.
Oh man, why did they stop right in the middle of our game?
No way are we going to have time to finish the game by the end of recess.
Oh, hello kids, I see you're interested. You came to hear the story of this building?
Well, honestly, you just stopped in the middle of
what? What building?
You see that fence over there with the gate and the guard stand? Just behind that fence, that long building that says on it, Ahmad Harova?
That's our school.
Wow, you got to learn in a very historical building. By the end of the 19th century, many Jews immigrated or moved to Jerusalem, and the Jewish population became the largest in the city, larger than the Muslim and Christian populations put together. The city got increasingly crowded. Prices of precious space went up, and many Jewish families found themselves homeless. That's what triggered the construction of a shelter home for the poor. A little later, Baron Rothschild contributed his share, and you can see the impressive building he built just in front of us, with the distinguished arches, just to the right of your school. Are you able to identify the Rothschild family symbol on the building?
Where?
I see it, over there on top. Look, just in the middle, do you see? It looks like a shield.
Very good. That's the same style over 100 apartments were built. You can't see most of them since they were destroyed. All the structures you can see around us are new, but the large square in which you're playing soccer existed also back then.
Did they play soccer then too?
Maybe that is when they weren't hanging up wet clothes, doing laundry, bringing water from the cisterns, and cooking.
Wait, what? They did all that out in the courtyard?
Of course, where else would they do it? Your classroom, that's an entire apartment. There's no room, everything is done outside. They weren't spoiled like you.
No way was our class a whole apartment.
Yep, a whole apartment. And in one of those homes, there once lived a small girl, younger than you, by the name of Pua Steiner. Today she's already a grandmother. Listen to how she describes her life here.
I was born in Afua and moved to Bateva Chazer Square in the old city when I was 4 years old. We lived in a one-room apartment, 5 children, father and mother, altogether 7 people. My mother put a closed closet in the center of the room, dividing it into 2 areas, one room for the parents and the other for the children. The kitchenette was outdoors. Every day I would walk to school, which was outside of the old city, and the new city. I used to love taking walks with my mother to the market, the shuk, and to draw water from the cisterns in our courtyard.
What cisterns? What period is this? Did they live with dinosaurs?
Can you stop interrupting every other minute?
It's okay. It really is surprising to hear how many things that we take for granted and are part of our everyday life were considered luxuries or didn't even exist such a short time ago. Before this day was established, not everyone had running water in their faucets, so they would draw water from the cisterns. But let's hear some more from Pua.
That's how we lived until the War of Independence broke out, when the United Nations made the decision for partition on November 29, 1947. The war began, and here in Jerusalem, we were under siege very quickly. There was a general siege around Jerusalem, and additionally, there was a siege around the Jewish quarter. A siege within a siege. You could enter or leave the old city only in convoys protected by the British. On Hay Bayar, May 15th, 1948, the British left the country and Ben-Gurion declared the establishment of the State of Israel. That day, the Jewish quarter was closed off and the convoys stopped. No one could enter and no one could leave.
Wow, it's all probably so difficult.
When the Jewish quarter was sealed, we were about 2,000 people in it and the food supply stopped. There were few soldiers with even fewer weapons smuggled in under the British soldiers' noses. But other than them, almost no one knew how to fight. To give you an idea, the youngest soldier to fall in the battles within the old city was Nissim Gini, and he was 10 years old when he was killed. There was no communication modes available between the different outposts, and the only contact was made with the help of children messengers. The kids would run or crawl between the debris from one post to the next, carrying sacks full of homemade hand grenades or several bullets. Those were our warriors. Anyone who could contributed to the effort.
Anyone who was killed within those 2 weeks of fighting had to be buried inside the Jewish quarter. Since it was impossible to leave the walled city, I want to show you something. Come with me. We'll leave the Rothschild house. Here, on our left. Careful! You almost bumped into this big pillar. We'll turn left into this narrow alley. Here. A little bit more. See the memorial in front of us? This is where the fallen soldiers and fighters of the old city were buried, in a mass grave.
I can't believe that right here, near our courtyard, we have a mass grave. That's really terrible.
They're not buried here anymore. After the Six-Day War, when we returned to the old city, the remains were transferred to the Mount of Olives. But you're right, the fighting was tough and the losses were heartbreaking.
There were 2 weeks of nonstop firing and bombing. I was terrified. We all gathered in our neighbor's home on the second level, a few families crowded together in that one-room apartment, each family in a corner. We were totally cut off from the outside world. No news came from out of the old city. The mood was depressed. We all knew the small number of soldiers our side had and the ridiculously limited number of weapons that had access to. Suddenly, groups of people, men, women, and children from alleys further away from us started spilling into Batei Mechaseh Square. They were running, escaping from their homes, and they had devastating news to share. The Arabs have broken through the barriers and are storming in the Yehudim street. Why are you just sitting here? Get moving and run for your lives. They'll soon come and murder us all. Within a short time, the Arab fighting forces stormed and bombed the Tiferet Yisrael synagogue so we wouldn't be able to reconquer it. The same thing happened to the Chorva synagogue. The residents gathered together in the four Sephardic synagogues, since they were underground level and offered relative protection.
Wow, it's very close to here.
The next day, I woke up to complete silence. There was no noise of artillery, shooting, or bombing. Someone said there was a ceasefire and that negotiations for surrender are taking place. People started coming out of hiding. Everyone was walking slowly, talking quietly, eyes looking down at the floor and heads slightly bowed, as in mourning, looking silently at the destruction, nodding at the dead ones. Today, we will leave this ancient and holy place, the old city of Jerusalem, the city of holiness and temple. All our efforts went down the drain, our sacrifices were for nothing.
They all gathered in Mechaseh Square. The commander of the old city, Moshe Rosenach, who had managed to hold fighting for over 2 weeks with so little soldiers and weapons, had to sign a surrender. Abdal Atal, the Jordanian forces commander, ordered all fighting men to gather in front of him. To his amazement, about 35 worn-out men stood there. He exclaimed in anger, "Had we known this was the number of fighters, we wouldn't have wasted weapons on you. We would have come to you with sticks and stones." Not to embarrass himself, he took along any male who seemed reasonably fit or at age for fighting with him to Jordan. He took 290 men captive, along with another 52 injured, and left with them through the Lions Gate. They even took a 90-year-old man. The women and children left through the Zion Gate. After the last Jew left the walls, the gate was sealed with a cement wall, so we would never be able to return.
So, they never came back?
They couldn't come back for 19 years. Come with me, I want to show you something. We'll head back to the main square where we were earlier, but this time we'll continue straight ahead. Here's the pillar you almost knocked into earlier. Now it's on our right. We'll walk down the stairs ahead of us. In 1967, 19 years after the Jewish quarter fell, the Six-Day War broke out, and soldiers broke into the old city from a few gates, including from the Lions Gate.
Wait, isn't that the gate they exited the city from back in the War of Independence?
Very good, that's correct. After the soldiers broke through the gate, they found the Jewish quarter, the square and were in, and many of the homes destroyed. The Rothschild home and a few other structures were damaged, but their frames were still intact. This was the first neighborhood to be restored in the Jewish quarter. A few schools were established here, including your school, and also Pashtun, who was already an adult, returned here to live. and right here, to your left, look over there. They decided to engrave an ancient quote out of the book of Zechariah, a quote that perhaps says it all. The yearning and longing, the hope that never left us, the tremendous privilege we have to return and realize their dreams and prayers.
Amrit. Old men and women shall yet sit in the street of Jerusalem, each man with his staff in his hands because of old age. And the street of Jerusalem shall fill with boys and girls playing in the streets.
Hey, that prophecy is speaking about us. We're playing in the streets.
Very true. This prophecy is talking about you. You are privileged to play here, in the streets and in the place where Jews left and didn't know whether they'd be back. The prophet Zechariah saw you in his vision already 2,500 years ago. He could see, here, you'd play soccer, kick a ball, and you wouldn't even know that your game is a prophecy and the prayers of many Jews who dreamt then. I think your recess is over. Time to get going back to class.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed our podcast, you're invited to hear more about fascinating sites around the Old City in podcast networks and on the website of the Jewish Culture Development Company. Share this podcast with your friends and let them know they should come visit the Old City and listen to the sounds and sight. Research, writing, and narration. Sixth grade graduates of Mamadarova School, 2022. Editing and sound. Oriah Gill, Hanan Shryman, Roni Elia Shoman, and Avi Beheran. This podcast was recorded at the Puente Center for Learning of the Jerusalem Municipality. We hope you enjoyed the Mamadarova students.